Hi, thank you for visiting the Remnant Church podcast. We hope that this message will be seed planted in the fertile ground of your heart, watered a seed that has already been planted, and that the Lord of the harvest will bring the increase. May it take roots downward and fruit grow upward and outward. Let us join the message already in progress.
For the past several weeks, we've been talking about the Father's vision for you, for us. We started this series simply just called Vision, and we're going to be going over this series for several weeks, but it's kind of broken up into three segments, and this first segment is called The Father's Vision. So the whole series is Vision, but these first several messages has been about the Father's vision for us, how the Father sees us, how He loves us, how He cares for us, actually what He sees for us. The plans that He has for us, and the way He treats us and wants to treat us. And so to do that, to be talking about that, we've been using the parable that Jesus told that we commonly call the parable of the prodigal son. And last week, we really talked more about the older brother in that story, right? There was an older brother. We tend to focus on the younger, but there was an older brother in that story that never physically left home. He was the older son that stayed. But even though he never physically left home, as we talked about last week, we can see that he had left home in his heart. And because of that, he had some blurry vision. So we're talking about vision, so we said he had blurry vision. He had some self-centeredness that he was dealing with himself. And when we are focused more on ourselves, when we're focused more on us than we are Jesus, that can lead to some blurry vision. Amen? Amen. Okay. But now remember, this older brother, he got upset when the younger brother had returned home. The younger brother returned home. The father put a ring on him, put a robe on him, right? Put shoes on his feet, killed the fatted calf, and they threw a party. And he got upset when the father threw that party. He got jealous, he got offended, and he started singing that song, "What about me? What about me? What about me? What about me?" Y'all ever heard Joyce Meyer do that? Yeah, it's one of my favorites. I love when she did that. All right, but he was just centered on himself. He said, "I never got a party, right? I never got as much as a goat. I never did anything wrong. I've been here the whole time." And basically what he was saying is, you love him more than you love me, which was not true, right? The father loved both his sons the same. The father actually told this older brother in Luke 15, verse 31, he said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours." He was telling this older brother, "My presence and my provision is always with you. My authority in my name is always with you." But because this older brother was so focused on himself, he had blurry vision. He did not see himself clearly. He did not see others like his brother clearly. He saw them differently. He judged them, right? And he even had a misperception of his father, who was only ever good to him. So something I've tried to establish over the past 3 weeks and make sure we all understand is that the father in this story that Jesus told is meant to show us our Heavenly Father. I'm hoping you see that. And our Heavenly Father is only ever good to us because He sees us as sons and daughters. He wants us to know that everything He has, it's at our disposal. The problem is, many times, just like the older or the younger brother in this story, these two sons, we as sons and daughters, we tend to want to do things our own way instead of doing things the Father's way. And when we try to do things our own way instead of the Father's way, that can cause us some difficulties. And there have been many times that I have found myself asking, why do we as the children of God, both mature and baby Christians, right, newborn Christians, why do we so many times insist on doing things our own way? If we say that we believe God is good and that He works all things together for good to them that love Him, right, as His Word says, If we really believe that, why do we insist on doing things our own way and not His way? Why do we insist sometimes, we said this to our own children, why do you insist on learning things the hard way, right? We're just like that in a spiritual sense. And as I thought about, I think the answer is simply this. His vision for us and our vision for us are usually two really different things, right? He's got a vision and we got a vision, and they're usually very different. But we got to learn to see things or have vision from a kingdom-minded perspective. And sometimes that becomes difficult because having kingdom-minded vision brings about change in our lives. That's my first point today. Kingdom vision brings change. Kingdom vision brings change. There are a lot of people who are afraid of change, right? Right? Why? Because they're just used to what they are used to. And you can trust me, if anybody gets that, I get that, right? I'm a routine kind of guy. I really am. I'm a routine kind of guy. But the Lord has had to stretch me in those areas of my life because we can get so caught up in routines that we become religious. Right? And so we can get so caught up in routines that we only want to do things our way, what we're used to, instead of doing things His way when He's trying maybe to change some things up. But the only reason we would want to do things our way instead of His way, if we know that He's good, is because we become afraid of that change. We become afraid of it. And when we are unwilling to adjust to His way and allow change in our lives, that's when we become stagnant. We become complacent, and we become unfruitful. And when we become stagnant, complacent, and unfruitful, that means we're not doing anything beneficial for the kingdom, okay? But we've got to get to a point where we align our vision with His vision, and we start doing things His way. And so the point I'm trying to make is this. Doing things His way causes us to change our ways. I'm gonna say that again so everybody understands. Doing things His way, it actually causes us to change our ways. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord." Right? He's saying, you don't think the way I think. And your ways aren't the same way my ways are. "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts." You know what he's saying? I kind of know better. I know better than you. So our Heavenly Father, He actually sees the big picture when we only see what's right in front of us, right? He's the one whose wisdom founded and created the universe and everything in it, and He sees beginning to the end. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and end. So He sees from beginning to the end. And yet sometimes we act like we know better than He does. Right? I mean, let's just be honest with ourselves this morning. Sometimes we act like we know better than He does. But that's because we have a distorted view of things. But He sees it clearly. He sees it clearly. And because we do not know what He knows and because we do not see what He sees, we become afraid of the change or the transition that He may be leading us to or into. Now, listen, I know that change and transition, they're tough things to talk about, right? Because transition and change, it pushes and it pulls against the parameters of who we are, right? And what you do. Change messes with your stuff. Anybody real organized in the room? You're an organized person, right? Oh, we got a lot of messy people. We got about 5 organized, and the rest are like Manda. It's an anniversary, so I thought I'd slide in. Actually, she's the cleanest one there is. She's a neat freak. But all right, I just was going for a laugh, but it was at the cost of some happiness. I'm guessing later. So if you are an organized person and you got stuff, say you're at a desk and you got your stuff organized on desk, somebody comes and starts changing that stuff around, you don't like it that much, right? Don't mess with my stuff. Change messes with our stuff. Change messes with our plans. Change messes with our ideas. It messes with our details, our dreams, and our visions for our life. But rightly so, because we shouldn't be living off what we see for ourselves anyway. We're always going to have a limited, distorted, or blurry view of ourselves. But we got to start seeing things the way He sees them, right? The trouble people have oftentimes when it comes to times of transition or change, it comes from what they see or what they perceive, what's right in front of them. But we got to realize, even when we don't see, our steps are to be ordered by the Lord. Psalm 37:23, the steps of a good man, the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord, and He delights in His way. Now listen, I can sit up here and we can all quote that scripture all day long, every day, over and over and over again. But the reality of that is this. If we do not allow Him to lead us, because listen, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, we all have a choice, right? He let the younger son leave home. We all been given a choice. So we can quote the scripture all day long. But if we do not allow Him to lead us, we are actually making our own path and we are going our own way. And ultimately, we're not allowing Him to order our steps, which is what He really wants to do. Amen? Amen. Okay. So we've been talking about the prodigal son. And we have read where he received something from the father. He asked for his inheritance. The father obliged, gave it to him. But then he decided to go his own way, right? He went his own way. And ultimately he went out there and he lost everything the father gave him. And then he found himself in a desperate place of need and want. Listen, there are a lot of people who come into the father's house. They receive salvation. They receive the blessing of God's grace in their life. But then they turn and they still try to carve out their own path to life. And they try to continue making it on their own way and what just they think and what they just see. And that just doesn't work. A large part of the problem with people in relation to change and transition that takes place in our lives is this. Proverbs 29:18. This is going to be a staple in this series. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. It goes on to say, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. As I said, we're going to focus on the first part of that scripture. But let me just point this out about this proverb of wisdom, that second part, right? But he that keeps the law, happy is he. That goes right along with our previous series, right? Anybody remember the word of God is? And one of those sermons in that series, we said the word of God is sight. It is spiritual sight to us. If you want to have spiritual understanding, spiritual revelation, spiritual sight and vision, His law or His word is going to help us with that. If you're not reading the word, you're not going to have clear vision of the kingdom mindset. We've got to get in the word of God. So it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. When you do not see what God sees for your life, and then you come to a place of change or a place of transition in your life, even in times when God wants to promote you and bless you, we resist that change because we don't see what He sees. We start to resist, and He may just be wanting to bless us during that season of change. All we see in those moments when we don't have kingdom-minded vision is that our life is being messed with. Our job is being messed with. Our family or the ministry is being messed with. Or whatever area that is changing or transitioning, it's just being messed with. It's getting messed up. But listen to me. God can't move you unless He moves you. I'm going to say that again. It's pretty good. God can't move you unless He moves you. Let me give you an example. Come here, Luke. Luke's back from college, so I'm going to use him. He's always my guinea pig. All right, I want you to hold on my shirt. Hold on my shirt. I know it's a little awkward, but all right. Just follow me.
Come on. Follow me. Follow me. Walk fast. There we go.
Check this out. He's doing a pretty good job, right? Right? Going through the aisle. It's pretty easy. All right, All eyes on Luke. All right. All right. I want you to do the same thing, but now I want you to close your eyes. He said, oh, gosh. All right. Here we go. Go. All right. Y'all see that? Man, my shirt is going to be stretched. All right. We're on a straightaway. Let's go. All right. Good job, Luke. You can sit back down. Now, I'm sure he noticed, and I think some of y'all noticed. First time, he started moving right along with me. I had to get his motor going a little bit, but he followed right along with me. But when I asked him to close his eyes, there was a great level of resistance that took over. You know why? Because he couldn't see. He didn't know where he was going. Listen, we may experience some difficulties on our job. We may even get laid off. The plant we work for may shut down. And when you do not see God's plan for your life, you tend to start to ask questions, right? You tend to get frustrated. Why? Because we don't see what God already sees. We don't understand that God already knew that that stuff was going to happen. And because he loves you with an everlasting love, he's already prepared provision for you. Right? Nothing catches God off guard. Let me read to you what comes after what we read earlier. Psalm 37. Verse 23, I'm going to go to 26 now. It says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way, right? If we would just follow the Lord sometimes when we don't even see, he's not going to lead us into trouble. I didn't lead him into trouble. He couldn't see. He may have been a little nervous. There was some resistance. But ultimately, I led him safe and sound back to his seat. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. Guess what? We're going to have some tough times sometimes in life. Doesn't mean we may be cast down, but we're not defeated. That's what Paul said. We're not destroyed, right? For the Lord upholds him with his hand. I have been young and now am old. Can anybody identify with that? Right? I've been young, but now I'm old. But listen to this. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed or descendants begging for bread. He is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. Listen, I'll say it again. Nothing ever catches God by surprise. Nothing catches him off guard. He is God. We have to know, as bad as it may seem, he saw it coming. And even in the midst of that, with the enemy that's coming to steal, kill, and destroy, he still has a plan. Even in the midst of chaos, even in the midst of our own personal failures, we shall not be cast down, but we will be upheld by his hand. Hear me. The way you know whether or not you have kingdom vision is when something like that takes place in your life, what's the first thing you say? Oh, man, what am I going to do now? Or is it, oh, God, I know that you knew this day was coming. And I know, and I thank you for being the Lord of my life. And because you are the Lord of my life, I can count on you to open up the next door I need to walk through for my provision. God, I thank you that right now you're closing doors that no man can open, and you're opening doors that no man can shut. And you have a plan and you have a purpose, and I'm going to trust you. If our first response is, oh man, what am I going to do now? Then we may have a misconception or a misperception of God as our Father, not knowing he will make a way, even when there seems to be no way. And because I don't see him right now, right? I don't see him the way I'm supposed to see him right now. Or because mom and dad or our grandparents haven't seen, had the right vision, the kingdom-minded vision of who God is right now, we've been raising up blind generations of people. And they don't really know God as Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. Because we panic when things goes wrong. Instead of trusting and saying, hey, you know, God, I know you're going to take care of this. We raised up generations that don't see him or know him as El Shaddai. There was an old song, El Shaddai, El Shaddai. Y'all remember that? I remember that as a kid, right? My mom used to play that song, sing that song. You know what El Shaddai means? All-sufficient God. He's all-sufficient. And so when we don't see them right and hardships come or resistance comes, people fall into a pit of despair. They either quit or they want to quit and they want to give up on life or they want to give up on ministry. They want to give up on the workforce because they do not know what God's word says and see what he sees for them. Does that mean we just go through life being lazy and saying, oh, well, God, he's Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. As Paul would say, God forbid. No. Listen, we don't get to use that as an excuse to be lazy and not do our part, right? You know, the Bible says if a man don't work, he shouldn't eat. It literally says that, right? We don't get to use that as an excuse to be lazy, but it means what we do in through every trial, through every tribulation, we persevere knowing that God is still in control. And we trust God to open the doors we need to walk through and do what we need to do. Y'all got quiet on me. I know it's not a shouting message. Maybe you'll shout when I stump on that toe hard enough. Now with us talking about vision and having vision and seeing the Father's vision, I can hear somebody say, now, Pastor Andrew, I thought that we're supposed to walk by faith and not by sight. And yes, that's absolutely true. That is the truth. But walking by faith does not mean you walk blindly through life. That's my second point today. Walking by faith does not mean you walk blind, right? Matthew 15:14 is what it says. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch. Both will fall into a ditch. Listen, one problem we've had in the church as a whole, right? I'm not talking about Remnant Church. I'm talking about the body of Christ as a whole, is that there's been blind, visionless preachers, teachers, and leaders producing visionless people. And then nothing has been happening, and we hear people say and start complaining, well, nothing's getting done in the kingdom. Nobody's getting better, right? Nobody's growing up in God. Nobody's getting blessed. Nobody's getting healed. Nobody's getting saved. Nobody's getting set free. Nobody's getting delivered anymore. And instead of us pointing the finger at ourselves and saying, God, we got to get with your program and allow him to bring about a change that will change our situation, we've been giving the world a distorted view of the Father. It's like the blind leading the blind. And then the world sees all this mess, right, where we're confused and we're discombobulated, as Pastor Reed used to always say. We're stressed out. We're full of fear and worry. The world sees that. And then the church sits back and twiddles her thumbs, and we say, I wonder why they don't want what I got. Nah, duh, because they already got that in the world. Right? Walking by faith is not us walking blind, not knowing what's happening. Walking by faith is knowing, listen, I may only have an acorn in my hand, but I know that God has promised me a tree. That's faith, right? Walking by faith is knowing there may be a river or a sea that's separating me from the promise, but I have a Father who's able to split the rivers and the sea and let me pass through on dry ground. Walking by faith is knowing there may be a fortified wall. I may have hit a wall right in front of me. But I'm going to praise anyway, and I'm going to watch those walls fall at the right time. Walking by faith is knowing I don't have to worry. I don't have to worry and fear about tomorrow and be full of anxiety. Why? Because he told me I don't have to be anxious for anything. He said, be anxious for nothing. This is what Jesus said, Matthew 6:25-33. I used some of this a couple weeks ago. I'm going to use this, that, and more. It says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? You know what he's saying? That fear, worry, and anxiety, that does nothing for you. It doesn't add anything to your life. It takes away. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek after. That's the world seeking after. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. This should be a life verse right here, Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Listen, when we get and gain the right perception of God, we're not looking for clothes, but you're looking for His kingdom, and clothing is provided. But you know, you're not really looking for food. We do, like again, we do what we're supposed to do, but when your eyes are on the kingdom, food is provided. I've shared this story before. I grew up in a household. I grew up in a two-bedroom, one-bathroom house, and I had three siblings and my mom and my dad. So there were six people in this two-bedroom, one-bath house. I shared a bedroom with my siblings. I had to share a bedroom until I bought my own house, right? About middle school, I moved to the couch, right? I was sleeping on the couch because it was just more comfortable. But I remember there were times my dad worked hard. He worked hard every day. He went in early. He did side shows of magic, all kinds of things to make extra cash because he's pretty good with his sleight of hand. If he's ever stolen from you guys here with magic, I apologize. Because he'll be like, hey, you got a $100 bill? Watch this disappear. Praise the Lord. Nah, he watches every week, so I'm just aggravating him. But I remember there were times he got saved, his life completely changed. But there were times that were very tough for us. And I remember there wasn't any food in our cabinets, and we didn't know what we were going to do. I remember this clearly. I was a young man. And then all of a sudden, people started showing up with bags of groceries at our house. We didn't ask for anything. Someone had used somebody from the church, and they provided all kinds. They filled our cabinets with groceries. But we fell on hard times, but he was still seeking first the kingdom of God, and food was provided. That's what I'm talking about. God will make a way when there seems to be no way. We just got to do our part. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added. Right? So. When we really get the right perception of our Heavenly Father, the devil's actually going to have to find new ways to attack us, right? He's not going to know what to do when we get the right perception. Let me explain, right? When we really realize, as Paul said to us in Philippians 3:20, our citizenship is in heaven, right? Heaven's not just a place we're trying to get to. We're supposed to be bringing heaven to earth. Because when we're saved, we're citizens of heaven. Right? And so we're supposed to be bringing heaven to earth. When we get to the point where we realize that, we know that, we see that, we have a kingdom vision for that, when the devil starts attacking you like he used to attack you, you're going to say, wait a daggone minute. And instead of judging things according to how everyone else is judging your situation because they're just looking at it, instead of saying, mama was broke, so I'm going to be broke too, or instead of saying, this runs in my family, I'll probably get it, or I've already got it too, instead of saying, I was born on the wrong side of the railroad tracks, I'll never get the break in life that I need, when he tries that stuff with you again, when he comes to whisper those lies in your ears again, you're going to look around at the kingdom of God, because when you got kingdom vision, you're going to say, wait a second, that's not in here. You're telling me that, but I don't see that promise in here. I see the opposite of that. I see the opposite of that and what God has promised. And guess what? If it's not here, then it's not mine. And if it's not mine, then you take it back, devil. I don't want it. When we start having kingdom vision and we start to see what our Heavenly Father sees for us, this is what I'll do. It'll change everything. It'll change everything. It'll change the way you make your decisions, right? Because you're going to have a mindset that no matter what, I'm going to do what God's Word says. I'm going to do, no matter what's happening, I'm going to trust the Lord. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. I may not understand, But I'm not going to lean to my own understanding, right? But in all my ways, whether they're good or bad or whether they're organized or chaotic, whatever's happening, in all my ways, I'm still going to acknowledge Him and I'm going to allow Him to direct my path. Kingdom vision causes you to trust and not worry. It'll change the way you respond to people. That stinker at work keeps aggravating you about your faith, right? That person at school that keeps trying to peer pressure you or try to get you to compromise on your convictions or your beliefs. Even family members sometimes, they call you crazy, fanatic, Jesus freak, maybe even a holy roller, right? With a vision of what the Father sees for you, you'll know. This is what Matthew 5, 11, and 12 says. Jesus Himself talking. Blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Listen, having vision of what the Father sees for you, it'll even change your outlook for the future, right? Instead of looking into tomorrow with dread, with fear, with worry, with anxiety, what you're going to know is, wait, I know that He's with me. He said He would never leave me. He said He would never forsake me. I know that He's gone before me and behind me. I'll be blessed when I go in. I'll be blessed when I go out. I'll be blessed in the city. I'll be blessed in the field. I know that He's got a plan. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you hope, to give you future. When you have kingdom vision, you'll come to know, greater is He that is in me than he that is within the world. When you have kingdom vision, you'll come to know, hey, I know what's coming against me, but I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. When you have kingdom vision, you'll know, hey, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Now, listen, that doesn't mean you won't have battles. It actually says the weapon will be formed. It just says it won't prosper. So, yeah, you're going to have struggles. You're going to have battles. But guess what? In it all and through it all, it will not prosper over you. When you have kingdom vision, you'll know, just as it says, 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 by my right hand, but it shall not come near my dwelling. When you have kingdom vision, you'll know that you're not fighting for victory, but you're fighting from a place of victory, and that victory was won on the cross of Calvary. When you have kingdom vision, it changes everything. It changes everything. It changes how you live. It changes how you walk. It changes how you talk. It changes how you treat people. It changes how you see people. It changes how you love people, right? It'll change what you listen to. It'll change what you put in front of your eyes. And it'll change where you want to hang out, who you want to hang out with anymore. Kingdom vision, right? It removes blinders of selfishness, blinders of religion, blinders of fear and worry. And what it does is it allows you to see how selfless, how relational, and how faithful your Heavenly Father is. Well, I'll ask you a question, and I just want you to be honest with me, right? Be honest with me this morning. Who here today, you've been struggling because of what you see in your life right now? You just find yourself in a place where you're in a struggle in life. Throw up your hand, right? Let's be honest with one another, right? There's just some things going on, and it's a struggle, right? All you see is the struggle. It's like everywhere you turn, there's something, this is going wrong, this is going wrong. And right when you think, oh, it's subsided, all of a sudden it seems like there's something else going wrong, right? How many's having a struggle because of what you see in your life right now? Throw it up. Be honest. Guess what? He's got a better plan. What you see is not the end. You're not trapped. What does the song say? It may look like I'm surrounded, but really I'm surrounded by you. God wants to give you His vision for your life. That's what He wants to give you. Why? So that you can walk away from seeing past failures. He removes those as far as the east is from the west. Our past failures, that's how far. Look, east from the west, that's how far he removes our transgressions from us. He wants you to see past the past failures. So you can walk away from seeing your inadequacies. Guess what? We can't do it without him. You know, we look at our inadequacies and we say, oh, well, I just can't do that. Well, no, you can't. Not without him. But with him, all things are possible. Right? So we can see past our shortcomings, our inadequacies. He wants to give us kingdom vision so we can walk away from seeing, quote, unquote, our misfortune. And that we can walk in the blessing of God on our life, regardless of our circumstances. I want everybody to stand with me. He wants to give you new vision. He wants to give you kingdom vision. If you would, just bow your heads and close your eyes. Just for a moment. If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor Andrew, that's me. I'm having a hard time seeing past my past. And that's a struggle for a lot of people, I'm telling you, because the enemy would love to hold us guilty of shame and condemnation. But the Word of God says there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so he would love to hold us in a prison of our past. And if you're here this morning, you say, Pastor Andrew, I'm having a hard time seeing past my past failures. If that's you, throw your hand up. Put it right back down. Yeah. You say, Pastor Andrew, I'm having a hard time seeing past the struggles I'm facing in life right now. I got some things going on. I'm having a hard time seeing past them. Throw your hand up. I see them. Maybe you hear this morning and you say, Pastor Andrew, I've never even really come into relationship with the Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. I've heard about him. I've been around him. I've been in church. Maybe you haven't. Maybe you have. But you know all about him, but you don't really know him, that he's relational. He wants a relationship with you. If that's you, just throw your hand up. Put it right back down. I need to know him. Truly know him. I need to know him. One last question. You say, Pastor Andrew, I need to have some kingdom vision. I've been looking at things the wrong way, and I want to see things his way instead of my own way. And I want to allow him, I want to trust him, and I want to allow him to lead and guide my steps. Right? If that's you, I need kingdom vision. Throw your hand up. Put it right back down. Okay. Everybody look at me. Y'all look at me. There are so many times that I have to pray this prayer over and over again. Lord, give me vision. Give me vision. You ever wake up in the morning and you got that sleepy in your eye, right? And then you open your eyes and everything kind of looks a little blurry. And you have to kind of rub and adjust. Or you've been staring at a computer screen for a long time and then all of a sudden you look up and everything looks blurry. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You got to adjust your eyes, right? It's like, well, give me a minute. You know we get like that spiritually? Sometimes we get so focused on things that we're not seeing things in a spiritual sense and things get blurry. Or sometimes, spiritually speaking, we fall asleep. We just go into a slumber. And then we wake up and we're not seeing things clearly. I have to pray all the time, God, don't let me fall asleep. Don't let me get too focused on anything but you. That's why it says we fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher. A lot of times we fix our eyes on other things. When Peter was getting out of the boat to walk on water, when his eyes were fixed on Jesus, he was walking on water. When he looked at the circumstances around him, he began to sink. Right? We get blurry vision. Sometimes we have to readjust and say, God, give me kingdom-minded vision again. Wipe the blurry, wipe the sleepy from my eyes. I think that's part of the walk, right? Making sure we stay on top of that. Don't let me start to see people differently. Don't let me start to judge people. Don't let me be like the older brother, right, who's self-centered. Don't let me be like the younger brother who's out in prodigal, wild, rebellious living. Don't let us make our own way. Let us go your way. I asked a lot of questions. I said a lot of stuff right there. But if you raise your hand for any reason, maybe you should have but didn't, or maybe you just feel the Holy Spirit tugging at your heart, they're going to begin to sing. And as they do, I want you to come to this altar, and we're going to get clear vision, kingdom vision. Would you come?
Thank you for listening to Remnant Church. Our service times are Sunday at 11 a.m. and Sunday evening at 6 p.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We would love for you to visit with us in person at 5134 Joe Frank Harris Parkway in Adairsville, Georgia. Until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.